All right, it's time for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's featured guest, Louis Navalier from Navalier & Associates. It's a pleasure to welcome back Louis Navalier to the show, Navalier & Associates. He's also the editor of four leading stock advisory newsletters.
Honored to be here.
In your latest report, we finally got another retest of the low in the S&P 500. Light volume, not always a good sign. Are you sticking with that as the bottom, or do you think we might see yet another retest?
I'm glad you brought that up. You know, we have a chart that we put on our weekly market mail that shows what the market was doing in 2011 and what it's doing this year. And it's eerily similar. And if history repeats, we'll have one more retest. And one of the reasons we think that might happen is on this market rebound, we've had a low-quality rally, a short-covering rally. We've had a lot of energy stocks bounce over 15%. We've had a lot of small-cap stocks bounce dramatically. And that's a sign that the correction is being exhausted. And in the meantime, when the leadership shifted just briefly to energy and other money-losing stocks, on the short squeeze, some of the quality stocks like the healthcare, the biotechs, and the techs are going to have good earnings because they're related to Apple. We're going to hit with profit taking. So we call this opposite bill. The current rally is not going to be sustainable, and we expect, and we've seen it broaden out a little. And so that's one way it ends. So the other way is we go back and we test the lows one last time. And so one more retest is likely. The reason we say this is the third quarter in a row of negative sales for the S&P. But the earnings are supposed to be down well over 4%. I personally think the S&P's earnings are going to be flat because I've noticed the stock buyback activity has picked up dramatically. So we're in very, very interesting times, and I can tell everyone that if they don't like all these daily shenanigans in the market, just invest the week before Thanksgiving, because that's when the happy time of year comes. That's when we gather with friends, family, football, food, and then the market should be firming up by then. The other thing is I have to apologize that a lot of the market correction was just what we call seasonal shenanigans. People aren't around in August. Europeans are gone. The New Yorkers are gone. And they succeeded this time.
I think it's a great idea, watching the market ahead of Thanksgiving. That traditionally, I mean, if you look at the Market Timers Almanac, for those maybe who were scared out of the market, presents an interesting opportunity. Moving on to the Fed, you know, we saw the Fed sit pat at the last FOMC meeting. Take a look at the 30-day Fed funds futures. They're looking at a 94 to 95% odds of holding steady on the rates at the October meeting. Do you see a Fed rate hike before the end of 2015? And if not, when do you think they finally pull the trigger?
You know, I have to be honest with you. I was going out telling everybody that never raising rates in my lifetime. People say, how long are you going to live? And I says, well, so my oldest daughter gets married, and it was in July. So I've since changed that, say that if they do raise rates, it'll be when I go in December. I think the September payroll report was a disaster. It wasn't so much it was disappointing. It was the downward revisions for July and August. The payroll report has been revised down every month this year except for June because of the double accounting of the temp jobs. Most of the jobs are creating in America are part-time. When an ambitious person gets two part-time jobs, they get counted twice. Eventually, they match up the Social Security numbers and revise the numbers down. This is not me pointing this out. This is the Fed themselves in their official FOMC minutes a few years ago, and this is why they got rid of their unemployment target. That is one reason they don't want to raise rates. Another is wages actually fell in September, and they've been very weak in recent months. And Janet Yellen, who's a labor economist, made it very clear she wants to see wage growth. Finally, they want to see inflation. We actually have deflation based on the CPI. One of the problems we have with the Fed is their forecast can't hit the broad side of the barn. They were forecasting wage growth. They were forecasting inflation. It didn't show up. So they got egg on their face, and the data-dependent Fed really doesn't want to raise rates. However, if they do, it'll be in December, one and done. We'll be distracted by the holidays. They don't want to raise rates next year, because if they raise rates, you know, the more they raise rates, the more they widen the wealth gap in America that will be debated endlessly in the presidential election year. So if they want to do it, they'll force it December 1 and done, and they'll probably cite market rates or market forces as the reason for that.
How does the potential for a government shutdown factor into your analysis?
It really doesn't, because John Boehner is still in charge. And even if he was going to be replaced, I realize that's in flux now, he didn't want to do the shutdown. They picked Paul Ryan. He doesn't want to do a shutdown. You know, it just depends who they pick. So, you know, they can pick anyone. Essentially, they don't have to have someone in the House. So if they pick Ted Cruz, I don't know if your senator can. But yeah, they might shut the government down. You know, there's a very feisty minority caucus that is causing all this chaos. Harry Reid helped make Congress more impotent, for lack of a better word, with the 60-vote rule. And the people in the House are mad. We'll see if they get a new leader, but in the end, I don't think anybody wants to shut down government.
In the past, you've talked about stock buybacks and, of course, corporate America selling bonds in order to finance much of that aggressive behavior. Do you see more of that ahead?
Absolutely. Bond, you know, I'm a stock guy, and I have a $2 billion-year bond business. Everybody wants yield. It's simple. I can get a 4.47% yield on triple B corporates, investment grade bonds that have all fees. The truth is that corporate America operates around the world, and Apple's probably the best example of this. They borrowed over in Europe for the third time in the last several months. They've sold 9-year notes at 1.4%. And then they obviously earn a lot more than 1.4. So they take all that money and buy their stock back. We've seen Biogen do this. We've seen Gilead. We've seen Alaska Airlines announce that their latest buyback. They're going to buy back over 10% of their outstanding stock just on the latest buyback. The leaders of this have been Lockheed Martin, AutoZone, O'Reilly Auto Parts. And the stock market is actually dying. You know, my average large cap stock retires 6.2% of its float a year. And they'll be gone in 14 years. The S&P's average stock retires almost 4% of its float. It's going to take them 22 years to disappear. So this is one of the reasons the market is going up on this light volume. It's very interesting, and it's one of the consequences of the Fed's zero interest rate policy. But the negative rates around the world are also exacerbating this situation.
That's another important part of the puzzle here, that we have coordinated efforts by central bankers around the world. Then let's use this as an opportunity to see what you're expecting in 2016. Do you see more volatility ahead, or do you see a recovery, as you point to in your latest newsletter?
We do see a recovery because the economy grew at 3.9%. The catalysts for the recovery are consumer spending and inventory rebuilding. There are soft spots in the economy like energy, but we've got some evidence of manufacturing orders starting to soften. Due to China, you know, any country that supplies China is already in a recession, like in Canada, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, much of Latin America, with the exception of Mexico. So what's happening is we think the U.S. will not go into recession. We are benefiting from the strong dollar shutting down commodity prices. That's putting more money in people's pockets, either the gas pumps. I realize we're in the winter when the fuel costs drop, but they will go up again in the spring. So this will be fleeting, but it'll help hopefully have a good holiday season. But the other thing about America is that when we have these presidential election campaigns, you cannot become an elected president of the United States unless you're a positive person. So the candidates, for lack of a better word, are going to run around and suck up to everybody, and it usually lifts people's spirits, and it usually results in a very strong market. And then we elect somebody, and then we ask, why did we do that? That's another matter. Presidential election terms are traditionally good for the market, and I realize we have a lot of candidates now. We'll have fewer soon.
All right, and as we wrap up here, any particular equities on your radar screen?
Well, right now I definitely like healthcare-related stocks. CVS is the new wave of healthcare. You know, you don't go to doctors to get shots anymore. You go to your drugstore, CVS or Walgreens. CVS also does chemotherapy, not at every corner one, but they have CVS Health that's helping with outsourcing healthcare. I like a lot of the retailers are spending the getting all the consumer spending money. One would be Darden Restaurants, that's Capital Grille. Another one would be the Home Depots or Lowe's, the Target, the Costco's. Those are all good examples. Southwest Airlines is another. I'm just trying to follow consumer spending. Starbucks is on the radar. They've been through low coffee prices. A lot of good things are going on right now.
Louis Navalier, we appreciate your thoughts today, and I wonder if you'd like to share any contact information, particularly with regard to your advisory newsletters.
Navalier.com is our management company site. Put our research out there free in the public domain. We want to empower people. So go to your site, empower yourself. I think you'll enjoy what you see. By the way, only 14% of the stocks out there are A-rated. So it's a very narrow market, and I'd rather you have a predominantly A-rated stock.
Louis Navalier, thank you so much.
Take care.